This morning, my attention is turned to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Just one verse in this chapter that has been impressing me. It's kind of back to basics, is my thought as I was preparing. And it has to deal with one of the Beatitudes in Christ's Sermon on the Mount. A very simple verse that I think speaks volumes and is an encouragement to us this morning. I trust it will be. In this sixth verse of the fifth chapter, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." This hunger and thirst after righteousness is the foundation of requirement of all godly living. A hunger and thirst after righteousness, another word, holiness, but God's presence within us. The spiritual condition of Christians throughout their lives will depend on this hunger and thirst. You know, we have seen people get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and for a short period of time, they're on fire for God. And I'm not pointing to anyone. I talk about myself. I experienced it like maybe most of you, if not all of you, that have been baptized. That there is a fire, that the Holy Spirit comes and moves us, and we've been praying. And in that prayer time, the Lord deals with us and helps us and strengthens us. And then the baptism comes and the Holy Spirit manifests himself. And for that period of time, there is a fire that burns within us, a desire to draw closer to God, a desire. We were infused with power from on high, and there's something within us, that an experience that we never did have before, and God moves us. And over time, we began to cool off. We began to get back to, quote, quote, normal. And I'm just, this morning, I said, "Lord, we have accepted that as the way things are." Well, you can't always be on fire, someone might say. Well, the Word of God, in one of the epistles, Paul writes, fervent in spirit. Always that fervent in spirit, always at the boiling point. And I understand life gets in the way. Things happen. The enemy comes after us. Just after Jesus was baptized, he went out into the wilderness. God led him out into the wilderness to be tempted of the enemy, of the devil. And we go through those times. We go through the enemy's attack to try and minimize the impact, pardon me, of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to dampen us down, to make us get back to normal, and we accept it. And I say, "Lord, help us this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Oh, praise God. What a promise. What an exhortation. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to seek after your righteousness, your presence in our lives. Oh, praise God. We need that so much in these days. There's so much the enemy is trying to do. I think of what the psalmist wrote. He says, "Restore," in the 51st Psalm, his expression, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." In the 80th Psalm, he says, "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." In the 85th Psalm, he says, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Isaiah writes, "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest." Habakkuk writes, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. In the midst of years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. O Lord, help us." I love what the psalmist also says in Psalm 42. I'm not going to read it all, but "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, O God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Is that our attitude this morning? I won't speak for you. I'm speaking for myself. The Holy Spirit's dealing with me. How badly do you want to see revival? How badly do you want to see God's presence and God's power? Are you really sold out? Are you really dedicated to seeing God move in a mighty way? I was reading an article, just looking something up in Scientific American. I'm not a reader of Scientific American normally, so don't. But it says humans may be the most adaptive species. And the two advantages that humans have are brain and the capacity for culture. We have social brains, he describes. We share information, we create and pass on knowledge. We're able to adjust to new situations. How do people survive in the cold tundra of Alaska, in the Antarctic, in the steamy jungles of Africa, on the arid plains, in the desert? How do they survive? We adapt. And can I take that to the spiritual side of our existence? We adapt. We're waiting for God's blessing. Well, God isn't blessing. Well, we kind of get back into life. And the fire of the Holy Ghost that burned on the day of Pentecost in our hearts, the fire that we experienced, it kind of gets dim. And it kind of gets overwhelmed by all the things around us. We adapt. We've learned to live without revival. We've learned to live without the presence and power of God. Oh, we go to church. We sing the songs. We raise our hands sometimes. But the presence and the power and the life-changing experience is not what it used to be. I'm talking about me. If you find yourself in that, well, that's, you know. Lord, help us. Blessed are they, happy are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh God, help us. Settled in to a lifestyle. We love the Lord. I know, no doubt in my mind, we love the Lord. We love his presence. We love the church. We love the people. But the zeal for the house of God, the zeal for the presence of God. Oh, praise the Lord. I love what the psalmist says. Psalm 27, one of my favorite psalms. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." He wasn't talking about being in a place. He was talking about being in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Can't sit in church 24/7, no, 7 days a week. No, it's not that. That's not it. It's being in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. One thing have I desired. One thing have I desired. What's the one thing you've desired? Can you say what the psalmist said? One thing have I desired. I can't. I want to say it. I want to be at that place. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. I want to feel his touch every day. I want to hear his voice. Praise God. Oh, Lord. The psalmist writes, Psalm 63. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power in the glory and thy glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. Oh, praise God. Lord, we saw your blessings. We've seen people baptized. We felt the presence of God. We felt the Holy Spirit move in a mighty way in the congregation. We've seen it. And it's been too long and too few and too scarce. Well, Brother Ron, there's battles and there's life and there's troubles and there's situations and trials. And that's all true. And that's the enemy's way of trying to separate us from God, to keep our mind occupied, to keep us focused on the things that don't matter. I'm not saying they're not important. I'm not saying they're not traumatic. That's not it. It's, oh Lord, where trust or hope is in you. We sing that song, more of you. More of you. Of things I've had my fill. And it says, but yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Do you want more of God this morning? I want more of God this morning. I want the Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. Let things get in the way. We let things manifest themselves. We allow things to displace the priorities of God in our lives. And it's not that they're not important. They are important, but they displace the priority of God. Oh, hallelujah. And the enemy, you see, he's looking at the hourglass and he sees the crystals of sand funneling through. Slowly but slowly. And his mission is to keep you distracted and to keep you focused on the things that are not important as time continues to run. Time continues to go by. Time becomes an enemy. And we lose time focused on the wrong things. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us, oh God. Praise his name. In revival times, we find in the Word of God, there was preparation that had to go on. Hezekiah, when he took over after his father Ahaz, who was an evil king, and Hezekiah was a godly king. And it says, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. The preparation that took place to cleanse the house of the Lord. He was talking about the house of God here, but I'm talking about spiritually this house, cleanse this house. Lord, remove everything that is detrimental to my spiritual walk. Let my eyes be fixed on the right things, oh God. Let my heart, Lord, embrace the truths of God. Nehemiah, after rebuilding the wall, and they found the scrolls, the books of the law, and read them, and the people rejoiced. And they wept at first because of the conviction they felt. And he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Weep not. And Nehemiah says, then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessel of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. Cleanse the house of God. When Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, King Ahab brought Baal worship into the Israelites, and his wife Jezebel challenged them to an answer by fire on Mount Carmel. And the first thing he did after the prophets of Baal failed to call down fire from heaven, the first thing he did is he rebuilt the altar of the Lord that was torn down. Maybe we got to get in our prayer closet and say, Lord, would you have your way in my life? Would you focus me on the things that are important in my spiritual walk? The scripture says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We seek a lot of things, and they're not all bad things. Many of them not bad. It's not that. It's the priority. It's the attention. It's the focus. It's the time. When Jesus and Matthew went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, he threw them out. Are there things we need to discard in our spiritual walk? Are there things that we have accepted, we've adapted? Oh, it's not so bad. We're okay. It's all right. It's not a big deal. God says, examine. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us this morning. We crave so many things. We seek so many things. God says, I stand at the door and knock. All you got to do is open the door. I stand at the door and knock. Oh, wait a minute, God, I'm too busy. I got this to take care of, and I got that to take care of, and my mind is focused on something else. I'll get to you in a minute, but not right now. I got things to do. I stand at the door and knock. Let me in. Let me in. Individually and to the church. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, help us this morning. The psalmist, one thing have I desired. One thing. I examine myself in the light of the word, and Lord, I fall so far short. Let my focus, my attention, my energy, my priority be on serving God seeking after his righteousness. I'm tired of being adaptive. I'm tired of accepting the same old, same old. I'm tired of saying, well, this is the way God's going to move in time. We're trusting the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord. I know we should wait on the Lord. I'm not criticizing it. We do wait on the Lord. God, Jesus said, occupy until I come. What did he mean by occupy? Sit in a bench? Keep a place warm? Occupy. Do what I've called you to do. Church, be busy about my business. I've given you the Great Commission. I've given you direction. I've empowered you by the Holy Spirit. I've given you my word. Hallelujah. All the blessings you'll receive. Oh, the joy, the overwhelming presence that will come. We sang, glorify thy name. What does that mean? Glorify thy name. God going to rent billboards? Love Jesus? Is he going to have, what's God going to do? How's he going to glorify his name? Through the church, you and I. You, the baptized, Holy Ghost filled, walking in the Spirit. That's how we're going to glorify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. By living the life. By allowing the presence of God to sweep over us. Praise his name. When we come together and the body begins to edify itself in love, the Holy Spirit moves. And hearts are touched and lives are changed. Oh, hallelujah. We're missing it. In this modern day and age, this modern age of religion, its accommodations, its activities. It's community groups. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff. That's not a substitute for the presence of God. Where's the focus? The focus is, I want Jesus to walk up and down these aisles every service. I want the power of God to fall. I want to see people's lives change forever for the glory of God. Hallelujah. We only have so much time. We only have so much time. And it's slipping away. It's slipping away. Wilt thou not revive us again? One of the prophets said, wilt thou not revive us again? Oh, Lord, I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning. Look at your heart. Look at your life. Where's the focus? Husbands, fathers, are you setting the spiritual tone in the home? Wives, are you being the spiritual and godly wives he wants you to be? Older ones, are you being the pillars in the temple of God? Does your testimony ring? Do you feel the presence of God? Do you feel the manifestation of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit baptism is not a date. It's not a date. It's living in the power of the Spirit every day. Praise God, praise God. Lord, I fall so short. Help me. Help me. Oh, praise his name. I'm going to close right here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, we've been in the desert. Raindrops around us are falling, but for the showers, we plead. Praise God. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, that implies a sincere, introspective look by the power of the Spirit. How does my life stack up? How do my efforts... Am I looking back at my history? Well, I've been in the Lord 50 years. That's good. That's good. But that's not what Jesus, that's not what he's looking at. Are you fervent in spirit now? Have you let the world creep in? Have you adapted to the situation? Well, God's not moving in the church. I guess we're just going to have to live through it. No! No! Oh, pray! Does God change things with prayer? He absolutely does. When you want it bad enough, when there's nothing else in your focus, hunger and thirst, when you have a hunger, a desire, it's not just, well, you know, I could use an appetizer. I think I'll have a little snack or a sandwich. Can we have a few crackers and cheese, kind of spiritually speaking? No, I want the full load, Lord. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm dry. I'm fighting my heart and my mind, Lord. I want to see you work in a mighty way. And I've let things rob me of my faith. In Jeremiah, I believe God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Jeremiah. One last scripture, I promise, I'm going to close. And you shall seek me and find me. I like that part. When you shall search for me with all your heart. Are we searching for God with all our heart? I ask myself, am I searching for God with all my heart? Is my lack of faith holding me back from doing what God wants me to do? Are the distractions of this life keeping me occupied with things that are robbing me of the victory? All of your heart, totally sold out. Like the psalmist, one thing have I desired, one thing, that's it. Today we're, you know, enamored with people that multitask. Well, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. Not so in the spiritual realm. One focus, Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us this morning. May he encourage us. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?